الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله يأمركم أن تؤدوا الأمانات إلى أهلها وعن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أربع إذا كان فيك لا يضر ما فاتك من الدنيا حفظ أمانة والصدق حديث وحسن خليقة وعفة طعمة صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Most respected elders, friends, honorable mu'takifin, mothers and sisters in Islam, and all the people that are listening to this program, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I've recited before you verse 58 of Surah An-Nisa, and I also narrated before you a hadith narrated by Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma was a great illustrious sahabi of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the son of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. His mother is Zainab bint Maz'un, and his two uncles are also two great illustrious sahaba of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Uthman ibn Maz'un and Qudama ibn Maz'un. According to some historians, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma and his sister Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha, the Mubarak wife of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, brother and sister, both accepted Islam secretly even before Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This according to some historians. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma was known to be an ardent follower of the sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Nafi' rahmatullah alayhi, who is a slave and student of Abdullah ibn Umar, he is a ustad of Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, he said about Abdullah ibn Umar, he had such a passion to follow the sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when he used to start following a sunnah, pursuing a sunnah, somebody would think that he is an insane person. He had that amount of passion and desire to fulfill the sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By way of example, in Bukhari Sharif, in Kitab al-Salah, there's a very lengthy hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam travels from Makkah to Medina, from Medina to Makkah. The narrator of that hadith is Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. He explained the hadith in much detail how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traveled from Makkah to Medina or from Medina to Makkah. If Nabi Kareem took a particular road, he would mention it. If Nabi Kareem climbed a particular hill, he would mention it. If Nabi Kareem went to a valley, he would mention it. If Nabi Kareem stood under a tree, he would mention it. If Nabi Kareem drank water from a particular stream, he would mention it. Every single thing he would mention in much detail. He had such a passion to follow the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that on one occasion, he observed a tree under which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traveled. That tree was getting dry. There was no water nearby. In order to keep that tree alive, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu to travel at a distance, go bring water and water the tree. So that tree under which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood, that tree would remain alive and an apparent sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be alive. That's the extent of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala following the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On one occasion, he adopted a posture of relieving himself. After having adopted that posture, he told the people around him that I had no urge to relieve myself. But I only adopted that posture to practice on the apparent sunnah, on the apparent posture of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was in that place, Nabi Kareem adopted that posture and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam relieved himself. Imam Nafi rahmatullah alayhi says that on one occasion Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that I have a wish, I have a desire that a particular door of Masjid al-Nabawi that be reserved only for the woman. Right now in Masjid al-Nabawi, there is a door called Babul Nisa, the door for women. So Abdullah ibn Umar, he heard that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wishes that there should be a door reserved only for women, only women would enter through that. It was just a wish of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he was so sensitive in fulfilling the wish of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu did not finalize it. It was just a wish. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala respected the wish of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The moment he heard this, for the rest of his life, he never entered Masjid Nabawi through that particular door. That was Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala. He was a very generous person. He used to give a lot of sadaqah, a lot of charity. He owned many, many slaves and used to free slaves very, very often. If he would see a slave performing salah with concentration, with devotion, dedication, so Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala used to get happy and used to free the slave. The slaves came to know that Abdullah ibn Umar, he frees slaves that perform salah, so slaves, some of them, just to get the freedom and to get the freedom from Abdullah ibn Umar, is to make wuzu nicely in front of him and stand in front of him and perform salah. So Abdullah ibn Umar used to free him. So people told to Abdullah ibn Umar that they are only performing this salah and showing you that they are performing salah to get the freedom. They are not doing it because they are really genuine performing the salah. Abdullah ibn Umar used to give the benefit of the doubt to those people. On one occasion, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala numa happened to travel somewhere. He came across a shepherd. He observed it was very, very hot midday, and engaging with the shepherd, he observed that the shepherd is fasting. He thought to himself that this is a shepherd, center of the desert, he's fasting. Let me test him out. He was grazing some sheep, so he told the shepherd, I want one sheep. The shepherd said, I can't give you the sheep, it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to my master. I can't give you anything without the permission of my master. So, Abdullah ibn Umar just told to him, but your master is not here. It's only you and I. What is it if you just give me one sheep? Privately I'll give you some money, like what we would say, you can pocket the money for yourself. Your master is not here to see. So Abdullah ibn Umar was surprised. He heard from the shepherd, alone in the desert, nobody is there. The shepherd told to Abdullah ibn Umar, if a master is not seeing me, Ain Allah. Where is my Allah? Allah is seeing everything. Abdullah ibn Umar was so pleased with this answer. He got in touch with the master of the slave. He purchased that slave, freed that slave, and that garden, that orchard, that sheep that he was grazing, Abdullah ibn Umar bought all that and he gave it over to that particular slave. This is Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala, a very great, illustrious sahabi of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Dinar. He says that on one occasion I was traveling with Abdullah ibn Umar and he came across a Bedouin. Abdullah ibn Umar engaged in talk with him, took out his amama and the saddle of his conveyance and gave it as a gift to that Bedouin. So people told Abdullah ibn Umar, he's a Bedouin. If you would have given him something small, he would have been so happy with that. Why is it that you have to give your amama and on top of that the saddle of your camel? These are expensive things. You treat, give a person a gift according to his status. And that person wasn't of that particular status that you need to give you such expensive items. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala mentioned the reason why I've done that. I heard Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, إِنَّ مِنْ أَبَرِّ الْبِرِّ سِلَةُ الرَّجُلْ أَهْلَ وُدِّ أَبِيهِ أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم The most greatest act of virtue is a person, he does act of kindness to the friends of his father. This Bedouin, he was a friend of my father. And in order to practice on the hadith, I decided to honor him. Respected elders and friends, the hadith that I have quoted is narrated by this great illustrious sahabi, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala says, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Arba'un iza kana fiik. If a person has four qualities in him, ma fataka min ad-dunya shay'un. He hasn't lost out anything of the world. And putting it in colloquial language, that if a person got four qualities, he's got everything of the world. He hasn't lost out with anything. The four qualities that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, first one, hifzu amana. To preserve trust. Amanat. You have been given a responsibility to look after the responsibility, execute the trust and an amanat. The second, sidqu hadithin. To be truthful with your tongue. This afternoon, after the Zohar Salah, we spoke about that, about being truthful with the tongue and to be careful with a person's speech. The third, husnu khaliqa. To have beautiful conduct, good akhlaq, good character and conduct. And the fourth, iffatu tu'ma. That when the food that the person eat must be pure, must be halal, it must be wholesome. In this short time, I want to discuss just the first aspect of it, hifzu amana. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi mentioned, four qualities if you have, then you've got everything of the world, you haven't lost out with anything, and from the four, the first is amanat. Shariat has emphasized on amanat, on trust. In the Quran Kareem, Almighty Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّ الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conquered Makkah al-Mukarrama, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came by the Kaaba Sharif. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, go search with Uthman ibn Abi Shayba. Now Uthman ibn Abi Shayba, who was the doorkeeper, who had the key of the Baytullah Sharif, he escaped from there. Now he knew that he would be pursued and the key would be given, but historians mention he escaped from there because he was the bearer of the key on behalf of his tribe. Had he been right there, the key would be taken away. His tribe will tell him, what was wrong with you? Couldn't you hide away somewhere? At least do whatever it takes for you to look after the key. So in order to consider the feelings of his tribe, he hid away somewhere. He wasn't there right in front just to give the key away. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Ali, go look for Uthman ibn Abi Shayba, go bring the key. Ali radiallahu ta'ala searched for him high and low until he got hold of Uthman ibn Abi Shayba. He told him, give the key. Uthman said, no, I can't give the key. This responsibility of hijaba, looking after the key of the Baytullah Sharif, the Arabic term for it is hijaba. That is our responsibility, the pride of our family. How can I give that key to you? So there was a scuffle that broke out between Ali radiallahu ta'ala and Uthman ibn Abi Shayba. Now who can win a scuffle against Ali radiallahu ta'ala? No. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala overpowered Uthman ibn Abi Shayba. And when he took the key, Uthman told him at that point, because he saw that he is now powerless. You're taking the key, but it's amanat. In other words, you took it, it still belongs to us. Ali radiallahu ta'ala gave the key to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The door of the Baytullah Sharif was opened. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes inside the Kaaba Sharif. Umar radiallahu ta'ala who says, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came up from the Kaaba Sharif. I heard Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reciting an ayat of the Quran Kareem which I did not hear before. Which means that this ayat of the Quran Kareem was revealed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he was in the Kaaba Sharif. What can we say about such an ayat? What can we say about an order of such an ayat which was revealed on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah right inside the Kaaba Sharif? Allah speaks about amanat. What can we tell about the responsibility of amana? He says, that's where I heard Nabi Kareem reciting the ayat of the Quran Kareem. Abbas radiallahu ta'ala no. He told Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulallah, give me that key. And the reason why he asked for it, because the family of Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, they were in charge of siqaya. Siqaya refers to, like how in the Haram Sharif you get people that responsibility, who is responsible of giving the people zamzam, water. So the family of Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, at that time, their responsibility was to arrange water for the Hujjaj and give water to the Hujjaj. That is called Siqaya. So Abbas radiallahu ta'ala thought, their family already got the skills, the administration, the power and the know-how of giving water. Let's have an added responsibility, Hijabah. So he requested Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, O Prophet of Allah, give us the key, we'll take charge of that as well. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then called for Uthman ibn Abi Shaybah and told him, Uthman, take this key. And anybody that takes the key away from you or from your family is a zalim, is an oppressor. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam actually demonstrated, showed that how an amanat is supposed to be fulfilled. Shariat emphasizes on amanat. In the 18th juz of the Quran al-Kareem, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala speaks about the qualities of a believer. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ Believers are successful. Hadith Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali mentions the word falah. There's no Urdu word that can adequately translate the word falah. And when that is the situation in the Urdu language, what can we say about the English language that is more restricted? But we could translate it as that absolute success lies in certain qualities. And one of the qualities Allah Tabaraka speaks about the success of the believers, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ The believers are such that two things they have in them. Apart from other qualities, two things. When a trust is given to them, they are entrusted with something. Or when they make a promise, then they consider it and they try to execute it. Nabiya Kareem said, one of the basic teachings of the religion of Islam is also amanat. When the sixth year after Hijrat, during Sulah Hudaybiyah, after that, Nabiya Kareem saw some letters to various kings inviting them to Islam. One letter he wrote was to Hiraqal, the Roman king, inviting him to Islam. So in Bukhari Sharif, the narration is there. Hiraqal, the Roman king, he told the people, is there anybody from the Arab land here so that I may call him and ask him about this person that given me invite to the religion? Referring to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Apparently at that time, Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala was there in Sham for business. So Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala was brought in the court of Hiraqal. And one from the 10 questions Hiraqal asked Abu Sufyan about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one question was, Bima ya'murukum. Muhammad, the person that's inviting me to accept his religion, what does he order you to do? What are his teachings? From the four things that I've mentioned, fundamental, basic teachings of Islam, it is that ada'u amana. Muhammad teaches us to execute amanat. Something is entrusted to you, then you must execute, you must fulfill that amanat. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself, the title that was given to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, even before prophethood, by the people, by the kuffar of Makkah, was As-Sadiqul Amin. Trustworthy. If you look at all the accusations made against Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and all the titles that were given to him, the derogative title by the kuffar, somebody would say that he is a sahir. Somebody would say he is a sha'ir. But nobody said about Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that he is a kha'in. They all believed that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was a truthful, honest person, and if anything was entrusted by him, he never embezzled in that. To such an extent, that the night when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was making hijrat, he made Ali radiallahu ta'ala sleep on his bed. He made plans with Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala to escape. But all the amanat that the kuffar, the enemies of Islam that are given to over Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to keep an amanat, he gave it to Ali radiallahu ta'ala and told that you get the opportunity, they then discharge all this amanat to the people that to whoever it belongs to. That is the extent of amanat in Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala who says, there was hardly a majlis, there was hardly a gathering in which Nabi Kareem Sahib would not say this hadith, La iman liman la amanat lah. There were a person that does not have amanat in him. He does not have trust in him. That honesty in him. He's got no iman in him. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem Sahib mentioned, Ayatul munafiqi thalas. The sign of a munafiq are three. According to one narration, it is four.
Both the narration that is in Bukhari Sharif. The signs of a munafiq are three. And one is, وَإِذَا تُمِنَ خَانَ. When something is entrusted to him, he takes advantage of the situation, he exploits the situation, and embezzles in that, and he makes personal use of it. That is what is called khiyanat. That is against amanat. Respected elders and friends, what is the definition of amanat? What is amanat? How can we define amanat? Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he defined amanat trust as that if you place a responsibility to someone and that person correctly, properly, adequately executes the responsibility, you have conviction in that person. Now you will say that person, Amin, is a trustworthy person. And if that person does not correctly and adequately fulfill the responsibility, now that person is not an Amin. You make somebody a manager of your shop. He opens timelessly. He looks after the till. He looks after the shop. He looks after the workers around. Timelessly he closes the shop. He doesn't take a single cent to his advantage. Day in, day out he works. You have trust and confidence in that person. That person is a trustworthy person. But the moment he's got the key in his hand, thinking that you've got conviction in him, but he opens when he wants, he closes when he wants. And he's got the till to himself, and he uses money as he wants. When he'll be caught out, he'll be fired. Because you have no more conviction, trust in him like what you had before. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says, this is having conviction in somebody's honesty, that is what is called amanat. Now when we look at the word amanat, there are so many different angles and dimensions to amanat. I just want to cover four tonight very quickly and briefly. The first aspect of amanat is safe keeping of somebody's trust. Somebody gives you an item to keep, you look after it. You protect it. When a person asks that item back from you, you give it back to him. It's not like you place an item in trust by the person and after that you go and ask him, he say, what are you talking about? You haven't placed such an item by me. You deny it. Allah refers to it in the Quran al-Kareem. He speaks about the Ahle Kitab. وَمِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ مَنْ إِنْ تَأْمَنُ بِقِنْطَارِ يُؤَدِّهِ إِلَيْكَ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ إِنْ تَأْمَنُ بِدِينَارِ لَا يُؤَدِّهِ إِلَيْكَ إِلَّا مَا دُمْتَ عَلَيْهِ قَائِمًا. Allah speaks about the people of the book. Some of them are such so trustworthy, non-Muslims, Christians, they are so trustworthy that if you have to give them a hoard of gold, he's so trustworthy that the moment you ask for it, he would give it. He wouldn't keep it back to himself. And you get certain people of the book, Christians, that leave aside a hoard of gold. If you just give him one dinar, one gold coin, you ask him, he will not give it until you stand on his head, you persist, then only he will give it to you. Unfortunately, that kind of mistrust is creeping in our community and society. We know of that one famous incident. One Muslim person, he happened to go and travel somewhere. Before going out, he had some wealth, he gave it to a Christian friend. He told the Christian friend, keep it. When I go, when I return from my journey, I ask you, you return it to me. So the person went out on a journey. When he came back, he went to his Christian friend. He told the Christian friend, that money I kept by you, that trust, return it, I want it. He blankly refused. What are you talking about? I don't know anything. What are you talking about? He went to him repeatedly. The person denied. Now, this Muslim person got so frustrated. He needed his money, he needed his trust. So, he goes to the church and he speaks to the pastor. There's one person that attends your congregation. I place something as trust by him and he's refusing to give it to me. Can you intercede on my behalf and get my item out? So, the pastor went in his office. He wrote a small piece of paper. And he said, go and give it to this Christian person, that person that attend my congregation. So he went and gave the small piece of paper to the person. Say, I just went to your church. I complained to your pastor and he gave this note for yourself. Just read it. He opened it. Quickly the person went to his house. He brought the bag of money, whatever was entrusted to him, and he returned it to the person. The person was shocked. Day in, day out, I'm asking you for my trust. You're not returning it. What your priest told you that you so quickly you returned it? Say, my priest wrote on that piece of paper, brother, since when you became a Muslim? since when you became a Muslim. In other words, that the mindset of the non-Muslims about Muslims is that they are those people that make khiyanat and embezzle. Second part of amanat is that when you give position to anyone, you give them based on merit. You give them based on merit. You don't just give a person position. Any position it could be. It could be a ustad in a madrasa. It could be in an administration. It could be in anything. And lots of corruption has come in our community and society because we do not give people position based on merit. It's based on favoritism, and that brings about qiyamat in organizations. It brings about qiyamat in our family situation and so forth. There's a hadith in Bukhari Sharif in Kitab al-Ilm. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah titles the topic that if a muhaddith is talking and then somebody has to ask him a question, then should he stop and answer the person or should he continue? Under that, Imam Bukhari presents one hadith. One sahabi came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Matasa, when qiyamah will come? Nabi Kareem carried on talking to a sahaba, he didn't stop talking. Now the sahaba started discussing among themselves that some of them said that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't hear the sahabi. And when he would have stopped, the other said, no, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard, but Nabi sallallahu didn't like his question. When Nabi sallallahu finished talking, now Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked in a sign, where the person asked a question. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told, you ask, when is Qiyamah? When exactly Qiyamah will come? Only Allah knows. But one of the signs of Qiyamah is, إِذَا وُسِّدَ الْأَمْرِ إِلَىٰ غَيْرِ أَهْلِ فَانْتَذِرِ السَّاعَ. When you hand over responsibilities to people that are not capable, they don't have the ability to do something, just based on favoritism, based on friendship, you gave a responsibility to someone, now you must wait for Qiyamah. Now one is the major Qiyamah, the day of Qiyamah to come. And one is that the Qiyamah of an organization, the Qiyamah of your foundation, all that because you're handing responsibility to irresponsible people. So wait for Qiyamah to come on that. That is the second aspect that we need to correct and make islah of ourselves. The third aspect of amanat, use everything in a correct way. To use something in a wrong way, that is a khiyanat, that's also embezzling. And for that, the hadith, on one occasion, one sahabi, Hazrat Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was making wuzu. And he was using excessive water. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cautioned him, Ma hadha ya Sa'ad? What are you doing, Sa'ad? Ma hadha saraf? Why are you wasting this water? So he told Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I feel wuzu is saraf. I'm making wuzu. It's an act of virtue. Is there wasting in wuzu as well? This is an act of ibadat. I thought in ibadat there's no wasting. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Naam, wa in kunta la nahrin jarin. That even if you are making wuzu on a flowing stream, even there too, you must just use water according to your need. You don't just look at it because it's a stream that is flowing, so you just use excessive water. The same condition go to our masajid. Using the tap full blast open, talking away with someone. Even at home, when we are using the tap, use it according to a need. And to abuse that water, a ni'mat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, that is also khiyanat. And brothers, the most important thing of amanat that I want to share with you before I conclude. Allah tells us in the Quran Kareem, إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادِ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ أَنْهُ مَسْؤُولًا. Allah has given us ears, it's an amanat. Allah has given us eyes, it's an amanat. Allah has given us a heart, it's an amanat. And it is such an amanat, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us that all these things that I've given to you, you'll be answerable for it on the day of Qiyamah. When we are traveling somewhere, we go to Durban Airport, or somebody come from Joburg, then you go by Avis, you go hire a car. The condition is, you will return the car as you have hired it. No marks, no scratch, no dents, nothing. You use it, and then before you give the car over, you go for a checkup. The moment they will inspect the car and you see there's a slight dent or a slight scratch, then you have to pay a penalty for it. They won't just accept it like that. Allah Tabarak gave us eyes that were pure. Ask ourselves, how many scratches came inside our eyes with the guna that we committed? Allah has given us ears, pure ears. How many dents and accidents we have made with our ears and heard the wrong things? Allah has given us a pure heart. and how many problems and how many gunas and sins that we have taken into our hearts, and we have contaminated our hearts. When you hire a car and they would not accept it without a penalty, how do you think that the pure eye, pure ears, pure heart, the hands and feet, everything that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave us, how are we just going to return it to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? We need to clean it, we need to purify it. That's also an amanat that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given us. And the only way to do it. The difference between hiring a car and having a contract with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is that car rental people, they will only accept a penalty. You can't tell to them, no, you'll fix up the car for me on my behalf. But the case of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the eye that they have given us, the ear that they have given us, the heart that they have given us, the limb that they have given us, we dirtied it. Now we go back to Allah, we say, Allah, you clean it for us. We make tawbah to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. How kind is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? How loving and how compassionate is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? You've given us everything as amanat. Allah, we abused it. We did it the wrong way. Allah, we want you to turn it. We want you to correct it for us. And we need to return to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in the most purest way. And the only way to do it is tawajju ilallah. Inabat ilallah. Turning to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Wayahdi ilayhi man anab. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala guide people who make ruju, tawajju ilallah. Turn to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. When you turn to Allah, ask Allah, Allah, you gave me eyes, I used it for the wrong things. You gave me ears, I used it for the wrong things. Heart, I used it for the wrong thing. Allah, now you clean for me, I can't clean it. I only dirtied it, but you are the pure, you created purity, you purify my heart, my ears, my hands, my legs, everything, and make me pure and clean. And for that, the only way to do it is to turn to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And we, by staying in the correct environment, in the environment of the sulaha, in the environment of pious people, then only you stay in this pure environment, then you understand that how a person is supposed to be living, staying away from guna, staying away from sins, that's how a person will keep the various parts of his body pure and clean. We make dua, Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq and hidayat, that the various aspects of trust and amanat that relate to our life, we execute it, and most importantly, the aza, the limbs that Allah Tabaraka has given us, as an amanat, He gave us pure, we return it to Almighty Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala pure, wa akhir da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Inshallah, now we'll be making the zikr. As mentioned before, this morning after Fajr, we spoke about the fazail of zikr. Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran Kareem, وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. Allah is Akbar, and the zikr of Allah is Akbar. Allah is the greatest, and the zikr, the remembrance of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the greatest. And through the zikr, we only seek one thing. وَرِدْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. We want the pleasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dua, Allahumma inna nasaluka ridaaka wal jannah. Allah, we want your ridha, we want jannah. And that is, when we make the zikr of Allah, turn to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, Allah's rahmat, Allah's mercy come down, and it is through the zikr of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, Allah cleans us, Allah purifies us, the dirt that's in our eyes, we make intention, Allah, with the barakat of the zikr, remove the dirt from our eyes. With the barakat of zikr, remove that dirt from our ears, that ghibat, that backbiting we heard, the lustful glances we threw with our eyes, the backbiting that we did with our tongues, that wrong thought that came into our heart, with the barakat of zikr, Allah, cleanse me, purify me, and make me pure. May God, Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq and hidayat to engage ourselves with zikr, attach ourselves to Allah Ta'ala. We attach ourselves to Allah. Allah is pure, you will think pure, you'll hear pure, you'll speak pure, because you're attached to none other than the pure Almighty Allah Ta'ala. Tawfiq wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.